Welcome back to Library Voices SC. I'm Katie.
I'm Pamela.
And this is our third episode, and we'd like to mention to you that we have a bookmobile exchange coming up on the 29th, and we will be there talking about makerspaces and Pokemon Go. We're super excited about this.
It's going to be awesome. I don't know if it's full yet, so if you haven't registered, give us a call to see if there's any room. Talk to Florida Bows, and I believe it's being held at the State Museum this year.
Yes.
Awesome. So, bookmobiles rock.
They do.
South Carolina libraries rock.
Heck yes.
And we have been seeing lots of hashtag SC libraries rock all over the place, especially on Facebook. So I just want to remind everybody to use that hashtag so we can see all the awesome things happening in one place. And what we've seen so far is Berkeley County is going to town congratulating their summer reading winners and their programs. It's been fabulous to see everything coming out of Berkeley County. We've also seen a lot coming from Orangeburg with things like Noodle Javelin Jam. I mean, that sounds fun and exciting.
Really does.
Yeah, I want to do a noodle javelin. That would be fun. Mm-hmm. Even Darlington County's been getting in the action with some extreme sports and fire hoops, and they've posted some videos with the hashtag. Super neat. And then I believe we've also seen a lot of stuff coming from Darlington, even including miniature horses.
I want one.
I know.
That sounds adorable.
What else have we seen? We've seen martial arts. Spartanburg has posted their SCPL teens have done a hashtag SC Libraries Rock, talking about a teen room tour, and shared a really great photo. Jessica Knuckles, shout out to you down in Orangeburg for some great photos that you've shared of all your awesome programming. And then, of course, we've seen a lot coming from Charleston at the Heard St. Andrews Regional Library. I hope I'm not missing anybody. I think that, Cherokee County gave a few of the Pokemon catches on their Facebook page, which is really cool. I think we're going to start to see a lot more of that. Self-defense in the library. Mm-hmm. It's just, this summer is rocking and rolling. Yoga, everybody's doing amazing things. Lawrence County had the South Carolina Aquarium out, and they hashtagged SC Libraries Rock on Twitter. So I really want to see some more to give everybody more shout-outs.
Yes.
And really collect it all in one place so we can all see what we're all doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be cool. But for the rest of the show, we have a special treat to share with everybody, and it's not us talking. Well, not a lot. What are we going to share with everybody?
Back whenever we just had Storyfest last month, we interviewed Jim Gill. He's an amazing entertainer and storyteller, and we want to share a little bit of that with you today.
Absolutely. So we're just going to say goodbye for now, but hang tight, because here comes the interview with Jim Gill. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Storyfest South Carolina 2016 Year 6. We are so super excited that this year Katie and I get to interview some amazing people. And first up is Jim Gill, amazing entertainer.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thanks for being here. Katie?
Yes. What is your history with public libraries?
Oh, well, this could go on. I'll try to keep it short. When I was a kid, I spent pretty much every day after school at my branch library, which was pretty much all that there was going on in my little neighborhood of Rockford, Illinois. I will say, sadly, that branch, like in many budget cut things, ended up being closed eventually. But up until that point, which is why I'm a firm believer in fully funded public libraries, I spent every day there. And the woman who was the librarian was like a social worker. There were a group of us that came. I was there every day, and it's how I learned to do magic tricks. Whatever she could interest me in is what I did. We created a newspaper after hours at the library. Okay. Since that time, more recently, when I created my first recording, Jim Gill Sings the Sneezing Song and Other Contagious Tunes, somebody said, you should submit it to a book list, the American Library Association Journal. And the editor at that time, her name was Irene Wood, I'll never forget her. She called me on the phone, this is prior to email days, and said, I love this so much, I'm gonna review it. have you submitted it for an ALA notable? And I said, what's that? And she took the time to send me all of the paperwork.
Awesome.
And so that received an ALA notable, and since that time, I've gotten five of those over the years.
So we owe her a lot of thanks.
Yeah, no, I do. I try to say it every time I can.
That's awesome.
Did you do your summer reading?
When I was a child, I did summer reading, of course, every year. And this is the truth, which is why I laugh about that question. I found recently, one year I won. Whatever it was to win. However one won. I don't remember what that was. But I know that I won a bag of marbles. And I recently found it in a box of a bunch of stuff from when I was a kid. This leather pouch with a bunch of marbles in it.
Oh, marbles are awesome.
I know.
That's exciting.
And I remembered
that's
exactly what it was.
Prize.
I won that at the Summer Reading Club. So it's
cool.
Great.
Are you excited to be here at Storyfest?
I'm super excited to be here. One, I'm always excited when librarians know, are familiar with, and I never assume that because some people know about my work and some people don't. So when people use my music in the story times and things like that, that makes me really happy. And so one, I'm just happy when I'm around people that say that they enjoy using my work in their story times. Number two, I'm happy to be here because there are so many kids and families, and I love that.
What do you plan on sharing with the group today?
Well, you see that I brought my banjo. So my songs are, and frankly my books, I'm also the author of a couple of books as well, one of which was an ALA notable called a sing-along opera, called a soup opera. But my songs and frankly my books are really created as, I guess I would say, opportunities for adults and children, whether it's parents and kids or grandparents and kids or caregivers and children, to play together. And that's the idea. And so we already did one concert event here, and everybody sat on the floor together, moms and dads and kids and grandmas and care providers. And the idea is to engage everybody in these clap-along, sing-along games. And some of them are word games and rhyming games. But for me, there's sort of two purposes that connect it with the typical library mission. The first is, when you've got adults and children clapping, you know, sitting close together and clapping together and singing together, that's the same process as sitting and reading together. So, which is why the ALA, you know, the Every Child Ready to Read includes talking and singing and playing. So that's, a lot of my work has been that forever. That's one thing. And then the second thing is, a lot of my games do have those rhyming cues. So there's a lot of that early literacy things built in to the songs themselves.
When you are trying to think about what you want to share with the kids, what's your thought process?
My thought process is always, how does this work as an active game? And a game not just for kids, like again, like how does this work for adults and children to play it together? So I have a song, one of my favorites, we must face the fact our swimming arms are back. And it's, you know, the idea is just basically, right, you can imagine in a story time, right, everybody's kind of doing the motion. My favorite one in it is, we must face the fact our binocular eyes are back, because this, and I always say, you can look at your, and I'm doing it in concert, I always say, you can look at your mom or your dad or your grandma, they'll look right back at you. And it's really wonderful because it redirects them. So instead of them watching me like it's a show or a performance, it's not. It's really meant as a play group where they're playing with each other. So I'm always thinking of like strategies on how to create that, those kind of opportunities. You know, again, I was kind of proud of that one because it's really worked. You know, the kids kind of look at their grandma or whatever. It's great.
That's really sneaky.
It is sneaky. No, it is, and I think finger plays work the same way. It's one of the reasons why I've been making up my own finger plays. There's new ones on my new recording called Vote for Jim Guild. So, but again, finger plays are a wonderful way to do that exact same thing, because parents and caregivers, they feel real comfortable like joining in that way.
It's interesting, because a lot of times adults struggle with crossing that barrier,
yeah,
and going back into that play mode, and your work really makes it comfortable for everybody, which is awesome.
I try to.
You do great.
So nice.
You do great.
You do. You really do. So I'm curious, about how long does it typically take you to come up with a song or just in each project?
Yeah, no, you know what? I'll have here, I guess, sometimes the ideas will come. There's usually an idea for, again, since they're all some sort of a game song, the idea will come, I'm trying to think of what is on this new recording. I mean, it can take sometimes years and years before it really ever gets done. I had this idea for this new finger play. This will work on this. One from the left and one from the right met in the middle and danced all night. They made up a dance called the whoop-de-doo, whoop-de-doo. Then they waved goodbye and walked away, those two. And then it goes two from the left, two from the right, and it goes on and on, all the way up to 10. So I started that a long time, and I sort of had like, oh yeah, that'll be great, and they'll come in. Well, then there's the point of like, well, then you gotta come up with the rhymes, the finished product rhymes. And that I kind of struggle with because I want to make them right, and you're always sort of settling on some, so that takes a while. Then it's a matter of, in terms of recording it, like gathering the band and getting them together, and then really putting it. So, it, you know, by the time, it's a long process, is all I'll say, which is kind of silly because they're simple games, right? They really are simple games, but it takes to really create something, and then we did a video of that one, which I'm excited about because there's a visual with it. That was another 6 months. I mean, how silly. For a finger play.
It's all right. Some of the smallest things, they're the most complicated. And it's okay. Like that, it seems so easy, but it's more to it than that.
Well, right. And I think it'd be different for, I mean, musicians actually say this. They say like, because we'll record it. And I'll say, well, no. It's not like a song like that. Like I really, and I started using on this recording, I want you to illustrate the game. So like when I go, made up a dance called the whoop-de-doo, the guitar player, who's a jazz player, he's wonderful, you can hear his guitar go, whoop-de-doo, whoop-de-doo, whoop-de-doo. And for me, now that's like, now if I was alive and in person, I can just sort of show that. But on a recording, you hear whoop-de-doo, but if the band was playing like they would normally play, so I said, no, you got to illustrate this so that somebody who hears that goes like, oh yeah, like in the rhythm and everything. Or like I have another one on there, they made a dance called Snips Galore, and it's, you know, going to do scissors or whatever, and then walked away all both four. And again, I said like, no, you've got to make sure the music is do-do, do-do, do-do. So it takes a while. If you really want to, again, focus on the play rather than this is a witty song.
That's really great. A lot of things that we've been doing have been inclusive programming, yes, and ideas, and you're talking about reaching, what you're talking about can reach children and families who have eyesight problems or hearing problems, so they're able to get what you're talking about.
Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but either how way. I got started doing this, coincidentally, when I was 20 years old, so how I got started was leading playgroups, weekly playgroups, which would be kind of similar to like a story time, except it was a developmental playgroup for families with kids with special needs. So that's my background.
Wow.
And I did those weekly, like story times are weekly, sure, with the same families. I did those weekly for 20 years at various, like, I guess, therapy centers, family support centers around the Chicago area, which is where I live. So that's funny that you should mention that, because that is why I think about those things all the time.
And I can,
like,
tell that
how do you
available.
Give enough support, right, to make this work for kids of all different backgrounds, ability, right, levels, all those things.
A lot of people don't see that music can be available to children with hearing issues,
yeah,
or visual things. If you do it, illustrate it through sound, is available to children with,
yes,
eyesight issues.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And all the developmental differences.
Right.
You're really touching on a lot of points that we find important.
Thank you, I try to.
Well, you did great.
Well, that's sweet. I appreciate you noticing.
Awesome.
When you were a kid, did you think about doing this as an adult?
No. To be quite honest, when I was a kid, my dad brought me to the factory that he worked in on a Sunday morning. They had like family day, and we would go every year. And you would know, and I would say, when I got older, I said, why do we come here every year? Because it smelled bad and it was really loud, even though all the machines were off. And he said, I take you here every year so that you don't work here. Because I want you to not like it. And it was really sweet. And he kind of really, and he did pass away when I was young, but he, I think, instilled, I mean, I really think about that a lot. And he really instilled in me, like, you should do something that you love. And he, again, like he raised us well. It was a good union job and he got paid okay. I mean, so we, I you know, he was proud of his work, but he, I think, always wanted me to do something that I loved. And so it, I didn't know when I was a child what it was that I loved. But I did, as a teenager, start working with families, or not with families, with kids with special needs at this arts camp in Rockford, Illinois, where I grew up. And when I really think about it, that's kind of what I do still. I mean, I think I found what I loved then. And I was just lucky to then find, when I was a little bit older, people to ask me to start doing it with families. And that was, for me, like, it all worked together.
Awesome.
But thank you for the question. That's sweet.
Sounds like a wonderful dad.
He was a good guy.
And up to this point, what's probably your favorite project? What's your favorite song or anything that you love doing with the kids and the adults? What's your favorite?
I have a concert that I do very rarely because it's a big project with symphony orchestras. So I was asked by, actually it started with the symphony in my hometown of Rockford, Illinois. They said, you know, would you narrate something for the symphony? And I did, and then the director said, and a lot of what they would do oftentimes with symphony shows for kids is they kind of do things that are, frankly, meant more for school-age children, and most of the people who come are coming with young children. So we kind of talked about how children want to be involved with the music, and so he said, well, why don't you come up with something that's like real active music for the whole symphony, and then we'll do it. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. So I worked with a composer and an arranger to create a concert of symphonic music play, we call it. So there's a great little finger play set to Beethoven's Fifth. The time has come, show me your thumb. And it goes on, you know, it's really great. There's that, then a lot of original music. And then my book, A Soup Opera, came out of that concert as well, with a whole symphony, you know, symphonic or symphony score and opera singers and everything. It's really silly.
Is there anything you'd like to say?
Well, I'm so excited to be in South Carolina. If I, one, was so excited to get the invitation that it meant that there were some people in the library systems that were familiar with my work, which always makes me happy, because I don't assume that. And maybe it means more people will be now familiar with the music and they'll take it home. So thank you so much.
Jim, thanks for being with us today, and we look forward to seeing your show this afternoon.
Oh, thank you. It'll be lots of fun. Get some footage of it.
Absolutely. I'm Pamela.
I'm Katie.
We're keeping it short
and sweet.